From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me Putri to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news. First, the headline. Basic metal and food industry are projected to continue to be the leading sector for Indonesian export as they have contributed significantly to the country revenue amid the COVID-19 crisis. Indonesia State Gas Utility PT Perusahaan Gas Negara or PGN will begin to construction on a 367-kilometer crude oil pipeline in the Rokan Block Riau in July. Now, news in detail. Basic metal and food industry are projected to continue to be the leading sector for Indonesian export as they have contributed significantly to the country revenue amid the COVID-19 crisis. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Industry Minister Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita stated on Friday that the metal industry positive record has demonstrated that the downstream policy has run well. It could increase the added value of domestic raw material and the meet demand of the international market. The Central Bureau of Statistics or BPS recorded that during the initial 5 months of the year, non-oil and gas processing industry export crossed $51 billion, thereby contributing 79.25% to the country's total export at $64.4 billion. Indonesia State Gas Utility PT Perusahaan Gas Negara or PGN will begin construction of a 367-kilometer crude oil pipeline in the Rokan Block Riau in July. The project, located in the corridor of Minas Duri Dumai and Balam Bangko Dumai, will connect the Rokan oil block to Pertamina Dumai refinery in the province. As quoted by Antara News Agency, PGN Director of Infrastructure and Technology, Reddy Ferianto, stated here on Friday that the project aimed to boost synergy between subsidiaries of the PT Pertamina Group. The project is projected to boost oil production and lifting from the Rokan Block, the backbone of national oil production, which constitutes one-third of the country output. He noted with budget allocation of some $300 million, PGN has cut capital expenditure with efficiency of some 30%. The project is estimated to become one of the PGN major projects in its target of capital expenditure for 2020. The Financial Investment Decision FID in the Rokan Pipeline project is expected to optimize effort to enhance efficiency. Ferianto affirmed that 250,000 barrels of oil per day will be transported from Rokan to Pertamina refinery in Dumai. The Belarusian automobile engineering company BIAZ is one of the world main manufacturer of the heavy-duty truck. It is one of the flagship company in Belarus, which is always under close attention of the state. About 95% of product is exported. BIAZ is particularly interested in Asia and Latin America, as stated by news release of Embassy of the Republic of Belarus in Indonesia received by Voice of Indonesia June 1st, For the last 5 years, Indonesia has consistently been one of the top 3 largest market for aiming equipment. Over the past 4 years, BIAZ has shipped more than 50 vehicles with a carrying capacity of 110 and 130 tons to Indonesia. Today, BIAZ pay great attention to the development of interesting new products. The company has been working on robotization for many years. BIAZ saw the first few unmanned 130-ton haul truck to Russia Siberian Coal Energy Company (SUEK). They are undergoing tests in Russia, Kakhetia. In 2020, BIAZ intend to demonstrate its robotic complex in Belarus. The company plan to send there a 90-ton haul truck and remotely operate loader. While the pandemic has led many to believe remote work will become the norm, concern about lagging creativity and loneliness demonstrate that there is still role for the office in a post-COVID-19 world. As quoted by Antara News Agency on Friday, the Executive Center TIC state, while there are advantages to working from home, such as reduced commuting times, costs, and pollution, there are also disadvantages for businesses and employees. In a video produced in association with business reporter Paul Salnikov, founder and CEO of TIC, discussed what the future of work could look like. He said being one of Indonesia's largest premium flexible workspace operator gives those a good insight into how a company have been adapting. Once our center reopened, we found our members were looking forward to coming back as they missed the social interaction in their office provide. Other disadvantages to remote working include a disruption to creative thinking and the additional logistic step required to ensure businesses can continue as usual. The European Union, the EU leader, are holding a video summit focused on an ambition $840 billion EU recovery fund to deal with the coronavirus crisis. As quoted by BBC.com, June 19, several northern European nations opposed part of the EU Commission plan because it means jointly raising €500 billion as a grant for countries worst hit by the pandemic, notably Italy and Spain. The BBC Gavin Lee in Brussels said this fund is unprecedented in scale. France and Germany backed the EU plan, but no deal is expected on Friday. The Commission, which drafted EU law, called the plan Next Generation EU. The idea is to direct the aid especially at promising areas such as digital and green technology, not propping up ailing oil industry. The grant would be funded by allowing the Commission to borrow on the financial market with national commitment to the EU budget as a guarantee. The British government is planning to relax its travel quarantine rules in early July for some countries. As quoted by BBC.com, June 19, UK officials are talking to their counterpart in Portugal, France, Italy, Greece, and Spain. However, the UK hopes to make an announcement on June 29 that it has secured a number of travel corridors. The government had previously said that the quarantine would be reviewed every 3 weeks, and June 29 marked the end of the first 3 weeks period. A travel corridor would mean that two people traveling in both directions between two countries would not have to self-isolate after their travel. The first travel corridor could come into force on July 4th, although that is not mean confirmed. Even if certain routes are exempt, the travel quarantine for people arriving from other destinations will remain in place. Italian scientists say sewage water from two cities contained coronavirus strains in December, long before the country first confirmed cases. As quoted by BBC.com, June 19, the National Institute of Health, ISS, said water from Milan and Turin showed generic virus strains on December 18. It added to evidence from other countries that the virus may have been circulating much earlier than thought. China's official confirmed the first cases at the end of December. Italy's first cases was in the mid-February. In May, French scientists said tests on the sample that saw a patient treated for suspected pneumonia near Paris in December 27 actually had the coronavirus. Meanwhile, in Spain, a study found that virus stress in wastewater collected in mid-January in Barcelona and some 40 days before the first local case was discovered. That is the news, read out by Antin Supriyati.
The first news comes from Gorontalo. Gorontalo District Government launched a cloud-based electronic mailing application called Simaya in Limboto last Wednesday. Head of the Department of Kominfo Gorontalo, Haris Tome, said the application is part of the digitalization of services in the local government environment instructed by the Gorontalo region, Nelson Pomalingo. Simaya is an application that can accommodate the new normal order in the midst of the new type coronavirus pandemic or COVID-19 in the area to be able to run optimally. In addition, the application also facilitates the leaders of the region along with the ranks to perform the disposition of a letter from wherever they are, as long as it is supported by the internet network. This news comes from Lebak, Banten. The area of Badui tourism destination in the hinterland of Lebak Regency, Banten, is still closed. The traditional Badui elder, who is also the head of the Kanekes village, Jaro Saija, said the closure of the tourist area in the region was to prevent the spread of the coronavirus into the Badui community settlement. Head of Destination Section of the Tourism Department in Lebak, Usep Suparno, last Wednesday said he should coordinate with the local COVID-19 handling task force to open the Badui tourism area. During this time, the Badui area is forbidden to be visited by both domestic and foreign tourists. Its entrance gate was even guarded by officer to prevent the spread of COVID-19. In addition, the Badui people are not allowed to go out of the area except for essential necessities. The last news comes from Surabaya, East Java. Board Chairman of the Indonesian Mosque Council, Yusuf Kala, said the National Mosque of Al-Akbar in Surabaya in East Java became a showcase of the management of places of worship in the new normal era. During his visit to the mosque last Wednesday, Yusuf Kala said he appreciated the organizer of Masjid or Al-Akbar Mosque that cleared the mosque 5 times a day. He hoped that the mosque also taught worshippers to always maintain health protocol and adhere to cleanliness and keep the distance while in it. Yusuf Kala hopes the hygiene management of Al-Akbar Mosque can be an example for other mosques as well as a center of social, economic, and health for the area. Well, that was news from Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
We begin today in history with the event on June 20, 1912, Vitamins Found. On June 20, 1912, Dr. Kazimierz Funk from Poland successfully invented a substance that is very useful in food, and he called the substance by the name of vitamin. Scientists such as Kazimierz Funk and Senor G tried to isolate and separate vitamins from food, but they found that the separate vitamins did not have the effective outcome of the vitamins being naturally mixed in food. Let's move to the next event. In 1966, Giuseppe Farina was the first world champion in Formula One racing. Emilio Giuseppe Farina, who died on June 20, 1966, at the age of 59, was a professional car racer from Italy. He was the first F1 world champion in history when the world's most prestigious car racing event began in 1950. His debut in F1 began at Silverstone 1950 by driving Alfa Romeo car. Until the end of his life, Farina has achieved 33 starts with 127 points. He also won 25 races and made the fastest laps 5 times. The last event is that in 1991, the German parliament decided to move the capital back from Bonn to Berlin. Since the First to Second World Wars, the city of Berlin is the most important city for the German nation. But after the Second World War and continued with the ideological conflict commonly called the Cold War, the German state was split into two. Because the city of Berlin was in the eastern part of Germany, which was controlled by the communists, Berlin was made the capital of East Germany, while the Allies controlled the western part, which was finally called West Germany, with the capital, Bonn. But starting on June 2, 1991, the German parliament moved the capital from Bonn to Berlin. Bonn is a city in the state of North Rhine-Westphalia, Germany. It is located about 20 kilometers south of Cologne on the Rhine River. Bonn was the capital of West Germany from 1949 to 1990. And listener, that was Today in History.
Air yang beku, sentuhan lembut.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesia elected to the UN Economic and Social Council. Indonesia was elected as a member of the Economic and Social Council, or ECOSOC, of the UN for the 2021-2023 period, representing the Asia-Pacific group. The election was held a closed meeting at the United Nations headquarters in New York on June the 17th, local time. Unlike the previous process, the election was held without a plenary session as an attempt to prevent the spread of a COVID-19 virus. On the occasion, representatives of each group were present in New York to vote. Indonesia gained 186 votes from a total of 190 votes. In addition to Indonesia, Japan with 185 votes and Solomon Islands with 187 votes were also elected to represent the Asia-Pacific group. As a member of ECOSOC, Indonesia is committed to continuously and actively participating in encouraging efforts to achieve the Sustainable Development Goals 2030. Indonesia will also continue to improve its role in the discussion of strategic issues, especially on special bodies under ECOSOC, including FAO, WHO, IMO, ICAO, and IAEA. Being a member of the ECOSOC board has significance for Indonesia. Indonesia can utilize the ECOSOC platform to encourage economic and social recovery efforts in the COVID-19 pandemic. In addition, this is the reflection of Indonesia's global leadership in pushing the acceleration of the Sustainable Development Goals. It is also beneficial for the promotion of national priority programs in line with the Sustainable Development Goals while contributing to economic transformation. ECOSOC is one of the 6 UN main bodies responsible to the working scope of 15 special bodies, 8 functional commissions, and 5 regional commissions under its authority. ECOSOC consists of 54 member countries selected annually for a 3-year task period overlapping. This is the 12th time that Indonesia became a member of ECOSOC after the last in the 2012-2014 period. During the long history of being a member of ECOSOC, Indonesia has been twice trusted as president of the ECOSOC in 1970 and 2000. In addition, Indonesia has been vice president in ECOSOC in 1969, 1999, and 2012. Well, that was my Indonesia today.
Bilakah dia tahu apa yang telah terjadi semenjak hari itu hati ini miliknya. Dia jatuh hati seperti apa yang ku rasa. Mungkinkah dia jatuh cinta seperti apa yang ku damba. Bilakah dia mengerti apa yang telah terjadi. Hasratku tak tertahan untuk datang.
dia tahu. Andai dia tahu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today we will introduce you the culinary from South Kalimantan, namely pundut nasi. Listener, even though the pundut nasi culinary is not as famous as other Banjarmasin culinary like soto banjar and ketupat kandangan, the pundut nasi culinary is also delicious as other typical Banjar culinary. Pundut nasi is one of Banjarmasin's traditional culinary delights located in South Kalimantan. As the name implies in the Banjar language, pundut means wrap, so this pundut nasi is the rice that wrapped with banana leaves. Pundut nasi is very tasty because it is steamed with thick coconut milk, bay leaves, pandan leaves, lemongrass, and other herbs, so the aroma is more fragrant. Then after the rice is cooked, it is wrapped with banana leaves. Because it is sold in small portions, eating pundut nasi is very appropriate with breakfast. Pundut nasi is more delicious to be enjoyed with cat-like fish red cooking, or locally called iwak haruan masak habang, duck egg, gourame fish, and aided with saus lapat and habang or Banjar typical red spices. One portion of pundut nasi without side dishes only costs 3,000 rupiah. Listener, if you visit South Kalimantan, do not forget to have breakfast with pundut nasi. And that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Bye-bye.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Ku tak ingin.
Well, listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Miss Eleni. Today, we will inform you about COVID-20 ventilators by University of Indonesia ready for mass production. So, stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. The local transport ventilator or COVID-20 developed by the University of Indonesia or UI ventilator team has been declared to have passed human clinical trials for CMV or continuous mandatory ventilation and CPAP or continuous positive airway pressure ventilation from the Ministry of Health. The clinical trial results came out Monday, June 15, 2020. At present, the UI ventilator team is completing the final stages of production with several strategic industry partners in accordance with medical equipment production standards. Afterwards, it can be distributed to COVID-19 referral hospitals and emergency hospitals. The clinical trials in humans are divided into two stages. The first one is the clinical trial for CPAP ventilation mode in adult patients treated in the emergency room of Cipto Mangunkusumo General Hospital and UI Hospital in the May 2020 period. The second one is the clinical trial for the CMV ventilation mode, which was carried out at the Respiration Simulation Center, Persahabatan Central Hospital on June 3, 2020. Based on the Ministry of Health's task protocol, the results of this clinical trial prove that the function of COVID-20 works very well and is recommended for use in patient care. The COVID-20 is able to provide positive pressure ventilation with CMV mode so that it can be used as an alternative to helping patients who have difficulty breathing and need to be controlled by the machine or time-triggered. That was miscellany for today about COVID-20 ventilators by University of Indonesia ready for mass production. We'll meet again with other interesting topics. See you!
Ada ruang. terpikat pada tuturmu, aku tersihir ciummu, terkagum pada pandangmu, caramu melihat dunia. Ku harap kau tahu bahwa ku terinspirasi hatimu, ku tak harus memilikimu.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we will present a keroncong song entitled Harum. The song Harum, which will be sung by Sri Widadi, is one of the songs in the original Keroncong Songs album of Volume 4. If other songs commonly tell about the beauty of colorful flowers, this song tells more about another side of the flower, namely its fragrance. Not only beautiful to the eye, flowers with various shapes are more perfect with the fragrance. The fragrance of the flower can give peace to those who kiss it. We should be grateful to the God who creates flowers with all features. Well, listener, here is Sri Widadi with a keroncong song entitled Harum.
semerbak sedap kumpulan. Saya
Voice of Indonesia. Thank you. Voice of Indonesia.
Terima kasih.
listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.